Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, last year in Kansas City, we had 150 homicides.
About 40% of those cases in Kansas City remain unsolved. Many are considered cold. A heartbreaking reality for dozens of Metro families.
I remember just trying to get down to my son's casket, and I feel that was the worst, hardest thing I've ever experienced.
Each victim has a unique story in life and in death, with friends, family, detectives, and prosecutors all fighting for justice.
I want somebody to step up and do the right thing.
We are joining the case to get answers. This is Fox 4 Problem Solvers Crime Files, the podcast. I'm Kara Small. The murder of her son changed a Kansas City, Missouri mother's life forever. It would change any parent's life. The shock, the anger, and the grief. Those strong emotions every victim's family experiences as police search for the people responsible. Rosalind Temple says she experienced all of those emotions and more following the murder of her son. At least at first. She says the death of her son pushed her and transformed her. It pushed her to quit her job. It pushed her to visit countless shooting scenes to comfort grieving families. It pushed her to step up and change her reality while working to make the city better and safer. But part of her reality remains. Her son's death is one of dozens of homicides that remain unsolved in Kansas City. Antonio Thompson was 25 years old in the fall of 2011. He was spreading his wings and learning how to be an adult. But to his family, no matter how adult he was, he'd always be known as Pee-wee. It's a nickname his mother, Rosalind Temple, gave him 24 years earlier.
When he was born, around about 1 year old, he was walking. He was just like a little tiny thing. So I always nicknamed my kids. All my kids have a nickname, so I just looked at him one day and said, Pee-wee. So me and his dad, we started calling him Pee-wee.
As Pee-wee grew older, his mother said he was popular and made friends easily.
He was a people person. He loved to dance. He always kept a joke, but he was always thoughtful. He had a heart. He enjoyed dancing. He loved people. I just didn't really know the personal contact of the community that he had on people. He loved to dress. He was a trendsetter. He would come out and with a style, and then people in the community would pick it up. And I remember the bow ties. He was the first young man I ever seen wear a bow tie. But Pee-wee was himself. He didn't care what people thought about him. He was just whom he was called to be.
At some point in 2011, Antonio decided it was time to find a home of his own. He moved out and rented his own apartment. According to his mom, Antonio was going to start a new job at H&R Block that year, and he decided that he wanted to start a new Thanksgiving tradition. It was something he and his mom talked about a lot the couple of days before he died. That was 2 days before Thanksgiving, and the last time she actually spoke to her son. Rosalind got up early that morning and headed over to Antonio's apartment. That's when he broke the news to his mom that he didn't plan on attending Thanksgiving dinner with the family. Instead, he wanted to host his own get-together, complete with all the fixins. But he still wanted to help out his mom.
I remember him telling me, he said, I want to buy you Thanksgiving food for Thanksgiving. So I said, Pee-wee, you ain't coming to my house for Thanksgiving? He said, no, I'm in my new apartment, Mom. I want my friends to come over. So I remember going to the Sunfresh store off of Blue Parkway, which is still there. And it's catacorn for my son's apartment on 47th and Terrace. It was Oak Hill Manor back then. Mm-hmm. I remember calling Pee-wee from the store. I said, Pee-wee, I'm not buying you no turkey. You're not going to know a lot of people like me. I'm going to buy you some Cornishins. You know, as a mama, we always dip that, put a little run into things, take control of stuff. And so he was like, okay. And I remember taking the food back to his house and telling him, you know, I got to go home because I got to go to work tomorrow. But I remember he had me get him greens and sweet potatoes. And so I had, you know, he said, yeah, Mama needs some of your help on some of this stuff. And so I remember taking his food to his apartment and tell him I'd see him tomorrow evening after I got off.
Rosalyn woke up early that next day, the day before Thanksgiving. She had to work a shift as a machine operator. She already had a mental list going in her head. After work, she decided to get home and start prepping for Thanksgiving dinner. Then she planned to go help Pee-wee with his meal. But the moment she opened her eyes that morning, she knew something was wrong.
That morning I woke up, it was a different feel for me. And it felt like it was heaven, and I said, God, I don't know what's going on, but whatever it is, I'm going to trust you. And I remember going to work, clocking in. But I remember my first break was at 8 o'clock. I called Pee-wee. And normally I called Pee-wee. His name is Antonio Thompson. But when I called him, if he was on the phone, he'd slide me the voicemail, but he'd call me right back. So I called every break, every day. He never called. But when I got up at 6 that evening, it's like someone knew my schedule. So I really had a little panic. And Pee-wee loved his phone, loved social media. And that was leading up to it. That's when I went home and I just couldn't think straight. I just felt that something was wrong. And I remember getting home, putting my little pajamas on, getting my sweet potato pies, putting them in the oven. Because the first thing you do on Thanksgiving is you get your bacon out the way. Yeah. I remember putting them in the oven. I call him, it's my nephew and some more of his friends that I haven't heard from. I remember my youngest son coming in from work. I said, have you talked to your brother today?
Rosalyn says she called family and friends, everybody she could think of. No one had heard from Antonio that day. He hadn't posted on Facebook. His Twitter was silent. There hadn't been any texts or phone calls. That's when she knew she had to get to his apartment as soon as possible.
It's like Mama and Tanner's go up. And I was kind of getting like a panic attack. And I remember pulling my sweet potato pies in the oven. And I put my turkey in. And I called a couple of friends. I knew, meet me down to his apartment. I got to find my child. And I remember getting in my car. I took my granddaughter with me. She was about 9 years old. I took her with me. It was cold. It was Thanksgiving. It was Eve. The apartment complex was lit up because it's Thanksgiving Eve. People getting ready for the holiday. And so I remember walking around, knocking on people's windows.
But Rosalyn says no one reacted to her as she tried to get into the apartment. No one yelled or called police when she knocked on window after window. She had to wait for a person who lived in the building to show up and let her inside the security gate. Once inside, Rosalyn says she headed straight to apartment 202, Antonio's new home.
I remember knocking on the door and kind of shaking the door handle. I remember calling 911. Someone called the police department. That's all I had, you know. Because it was just it was a bad feeling for me. Pretty quick, it was a sergeant came out.
The sergeant told Rosalyn that he would force his way into the apartment, but that she couldn't be in the building when he did. She headed outside to wait.
It was cold out there, and I remember just standing there. It was just like time had stopped. It's like it took him so long. But I remember when the sergeant came out that door, the way he looked at me, he gave me a look, described, and said, he's in there. He said, he's been murdered. I fell to the ground. I couldn't breathe. Fire department came out and gave me oxygen, and when I got my breath, I just screamed.
She says she stood outside in the cold for hours as officers and detectives walked in and out of the building. And right there that night, as she grieved and waited for the medical examiner to move the body of her son, something happened.
I knew I had to do something in my community. Something that wasn't being done.
Just weeks later, with her son's death still raw, Rosalyn says she went to her first homicide scene. Week after week, she called and asked to meet with then Kent. Week after week, she called and asked to meet with then Kansas City, Missouri Police Chief Daryl Forte. At one point, Rosalyn says she couldn't keep working as a machine operator, and she quit in the middle of a shift to focus on Kansas City's chapter of Mothers in Charge.
For 2.5 years, I didn't get a quarter. I didn't get even gas money. But I remember coming to one of them homicide scenes and making it. I remember I had a 9600 cord. I remember after years, the muffler got so loud, and the detective was like, we heard you coming. It was loud. I'd be rolling on two wheels, you know, so I'm feeling like a little police officer, but I wasn't police, but I'm coming to help a family, help a mama. With me to go to them scenes and talk to the mothers and grandmothers and fathers, and I, you know, work even feeling the father's in his heart, just like a hole, and it's something I remember so well. I'm asked, do you ever get tired? Never tired to help a family. I can be up for 48 hours and go home and do a 15-minute power nap. Mothers in Charge is the best thing that I have ever heard of, that when it's happened to me, that, because as a mother, you always want to be in charge of your child. I have other grown children. I'm always trying to tell them what to do. Because as a mother, we never want to just, we just don't give our kids up like that. You know, people say, well, I'm grown. No, you ain't grown. You're still my child. So that's something that a mother, we feel that we need.
Something Rosalyn also needs are answers. Day after day, she spends her time reaching out to other families who've lost loved ones. She says there are days that she gets angry about her son's murder, but she says the feeling doesn't come as often as it used to.
And I don't look for nobody to go to prison for life or death penalty. I would never want to call somebody, be my words, I want them to die, because that's not who I am, who God birthed me to be. But I want somebody to step up and do the right thing. It's giving me that, just for the person, even if they don't get the time that people think people should need, I can look them in the eye and let them know that was my child. You'd have the right to take this life. It's what he meant to me. And I wouldn't want the same thing for your mother. People make bad choices. I truly believe that. Bad decisions, bad choices that happen. It's not about prison. It's not about death penalty. It's about some part of closure. I would never get on my son's death, but I've learned to live and heal through it. And every time I help a family, that helps me.
Even more surprising is the message that she has for the killer now, for the person who walked into Antonio Thompson's new home and took his life 7 years ago.
Please help me to be able to say, okay, and to talk to the personal people that did, to let them know, I forgave you a long time ago, because if I didn't forgive, I couldn't have been doing what I'm doing to live.
And while Rosalyn says she wishes more than anything that her son was alive today, she says the person who took his life also gave hers a new purpose. She says that cold night in 2011, when she wasn't thankful for anything, changed her life in ways she didn't think possible. She says 7 years later, she knows that leading Mothers in Charge and helping the families of homicide victims is her calling. It's what she plans to spend the rest of her life doing. Her only hope is that it doesn't take that long to find her son's killer.
Someone will see my heart and my dedication to my community, all what I've done, and please help me.
If you have any information about the murder of 25-year-old Antonio Thompson, call the TIPS hotline at 816-474-TIPS. You can also email your tip to kccrimestoppers.com or send your tip through the Crime Stoppers app. You can download it at p3tips.com. There is a $10,000 reward for the tip that helps solve this homicide case. You can find other episodes of Crime Files on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, as well as fox4kc.com. Just search Crime Files. For Fox 4 Crime Files, I'm Kara Small.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.